listening to From Overwhelmed to Balanced, How to Get a Grip on Your Busy Life. And I just want to thank all of you for showing up on the call today. Really grateful that you're here. Grateful that you're taking time out of your schedule to learn and to share with one another. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Denver Hudson. I'm president and CEO of Intermax LLC and the founder of the WOW Movement, which is an emerging movement offering education and coaching to individuals and groups who are ready to renew their health, strengthen their relationships, and lead positive change in their families, community, and the world. And I know that several of you on the call are up to something like that. You're looking to create positive change in the world. This monthly call is entitled Living and Leading Excellence and is designed for those who are committed to creating optimal health and living their excellence in both their personal and professional lives. It's offered every third Thursday of the month from 12 noon to 12:45. It's free of charge, always will be. So I invite you to mark it as a reoccurring event on your calendar and invite your colleagues and social networks to join us each month. Let's get started. Today we're going to be talking about overwhelm. What is overwhelm? What are some of the fundamental conditions that lead to overwhelm? How does it hinder us personally and professionally? And what are some practical ways that we can eliminate overwhelm and create more balance in our lives? The reason that I'm talking about this topic today is because more and more people that I talk to, this is a common theme that I hear. Whether I ask what's going on in their life or not, people are communicating to me that they have a strong sense of overwhelm and anxiety. So I thought, hey, this would be a really good topic for the monthly call. So here we are. Let's begin by asking the question to the group, what exactly is overwhelm? How would you define it?
Hi, Denver. This is Dick. Overwhelm to me means things coming at you from all different directions. You know, you have computers and computer problems. You have people coming at you. And there are times when you just can't cope with it.
Okay. Very good. Absolutely. A lot of stuff coming at us today. That is for sure. Thank you, Dick. Who else would like to contribute? How do you see overwhelm? What is it exactly?
I would like to contribute to that definition. The overwhelm for me is all of the responsibilities of your family life. And
yes.
And we have a lot of kids. We have a business currently already in existence. And then the financial. In addition to all of those other things that Dick mentioned, and I'm sure there are more things, and adding school and all of your marketing that you're supposed to be doing.
Yes. Thank you. And who is that made that contribution?
Cynthia Jafria.
Oh, Cynthia. Thank you so much. Very good. Very good. Yes. Anybody else? Maybe we can add a little bit more. See, our definition in creating overwhelm, we want to create a definition that's so broad and so heavy that it overwhelms us. So we need more.
Oh, God.
We will move on. Let me share with you a little bit, maybe something that you're not thinking about with respect to overwhelm that I think is really valuable to understand. Overwhelm, one way to look at it is that it is a mood, M-O-O-D, that we live in. And one of the powerful things about moods are that they create predispositions as to how we're going to act. In other words, when you're in a particular mood, you tend to act a particular way. It's almost predictable. You know, you see someone in a mood of overwhelm, you can pretty much predict a lot of their behavior as long as they're in that mood. So Understanding that overwhelm is actually a mood that we begin to live in is really important, because we're not going to be able to necessarily stop the inflow of information and things coming at us so much. All right, we can manage that, but we're not necessarily going to stop it. But the mood that we live in is something that we can begin to work on. Moods are also, they also set the horizon of possibilities for our future. So whatever mood you're in, there's a certain number of possibilities that are possible in that particular mood that's not possible in other moods. So there is less possibility in the mood of overwhelm than in a mood such as ambition or peace, for example. Okay? So I often communicate this idea of moods to people as though it is a circle. If you were to put your hands out in front of you as if you were actually holding onto a circle, and if you were to begin to expand that circle by moving your hands further apart, this represents people who are living in positive moods. The circle is getting bigger. The space of possibility, therefore, is getting bigger. And in these more expansive mood spaces, if you will, more is possible. People have a greater sense of freedom. They have a bigger sense of self in these more expansive mood spaces, such as ambition, peace, appreciation. Those type of moods tend to open us up to new possibilities. Now, if you take your hands and you begin to create a smaller circle, this would represent someone who's moving into a more negative mood space, such as overwhelm, resentment, resignation, those type of things. Those type of people are living in, when they're in that type of mood, they're living in a smaller space. Less feels possible in their life. How many of you on the call today have experienced that when you're in a mood of overwhelm, you feel that less is possible? Does anybody have that experience?
Yeah, this is Laura. I do, for sure.
And when you're in that mood, Laura, what happens to your sense of self? Do you feel smaller when you feel overwhelmed, or do you have a sense of being a bigger person, a more capable person?
I feel smaller. I feel like I'm less capable. I say things to myself like, why did I think I could do all of this, and who am I kidding?
Yeah.
And it was really uplifting conversations.
Yes. How many of you have had that similar experience? When you're living in a mood such as overwhelm, you feel like less is possible for your life, and you feel you have a smaller sense of self.
I've learned to ask myself better questions. Instead of,
yes,
why does this happen to me, but how can I do this thing, or what one thing could I do to, and I do try to change my, that sense of overwhelm that I'm feeling. But the other aspect is when you live in a family that does not share that same philosophy and sort of lives there and has lived there for years, it's really hard to break out of that. And that's another thing that I personally struggle with. And sorry if I took up too much time, but.
No, that's great. Great contribution.
I'm looking for some answers.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. It has exactly, when you have a family, is not on the same page as you, it's so overwhelming to keep on your path of getting well when they're on a totally different path. Overwhelming thing for me to heal myself when everybody else is headed in a different direction and they don't seem to see that there's progress and they still want to go in their direction.
Yeah, ladies, one of the things that you're bringing up is the power of moods and the direction that they flow. If you look at a mood as a river, they're flowing in a certain direction. So if you've got someone flowing in an opposite direction of you, it's like you're walking in a heavy stream of water. And I'm sure you're all getting a sense of that. So,
well, I am getting a sense of that because my husband says, you're not the same woman I married 30 years ago. And I'm thinking, I'm not the same woman you married. Yeah, I'm not the same woman I was yesterday.
Absolutely. Well, another thing that I'm hearing from you ladies is that this is not an easy issue. You know, this is a 45-minute call today, and you're going to get some insight today, but this is not, obviously, the resolution to all of the issue of overwhelm. That's not even a realistic goal. So let's continue, and as we move along, we are going to get into some practical things that you can begin to do that hopefully will be very helpful to you. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk to you about one of the things that all of you are already pointing to that is a huge cause of overwhelm in the world today. And I get the sense with people that a lot of people don't know. I think they have a sense of what I'm about to say and what I'm about to talk about, but I don't think it has really hit home with them as to what to do with this. And one of the biggest fundamental causes of overwhelm today is a saturation of connections and opportunities that have been brought to us by technological advances. Now, if you think about the world just 10 years ago, all right, we didn't have things like social media. And the technology that we have today with the Internet and with social media allows us to connect with people that long ago we wouldn't have connected with. Like, for example, you can connect today with people that you knew back in high school. people that you knew in grade school. And you can create a whole bunch of new friends around new opportunities that simply was not possible just a few years ago. And the reason that this saturation of connection is important to understand is because for every one of those connections, there is, especially the ones that mean something to you, there is a demand on your energy and on your mental capacity. For example, I got a Facebook message this week from someone that I knew back when I was in high school, and their grandmother passed away. And obviously that's very sad, and it took me 5 minutes to kind of process that. About a half hour later, I get a text from her sister that says, "Did you hear that our grandmother passed away?" Again, a very sad, you know, emotion sweeps through me, and it takes another 10 minutes to kind of think about that and respond to the text. And 10 years ago, something like that would not have happened. Okay, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. 10 years ago, I would have been out of touch with those people and probably never have seen them again in my life. But today, I have connection with those people, and I have, you know, reconnected with people from high school. And some of those people, you've rekindled a friendship. So now, not only do you have current friends, now you have old friendships that you're also working to maintain or reengage. And then you're looking at like a page like Facebook or other social media sites that are constantly throwing opportunities in front of you every day, new pages to like, new things to explore. And some of those, you're just so attracted to it that you move into that and you could spend a day or two or a week, a month, a year exploring some new opportunity that all of a sudden has got new responsibilities behind it. You've made new commitments, and that is on top of the commitments that you had before that experience. So,
oh, I'm tired.
Yeah. This is the new world that we're living in today, and my perception of people is that they have not learned, we have not learned because it's so new, how to manage ourselves and our energy in that type of world. We have not yet learned how to manage all of these different connections, to be the person that we were back in high school with those friends, to be the person that we are now with current, and to be the person that we could be with all of these new connections that we're making through social media and through the Internet. And
there is a positive side. I just connected with somebody just in the last 3 weeks that I haven't talked to in 40 years, and without what you're talking about, I would have never, ever talked to them or communicated with them again. But we found each other on Facebook, and now we're doing Skype, and we see each other person to person, and we've changed so much. And now they want to sign up for integrative nutrition.
It's awesome.
So,
I love it.
But that's the positive.
All of this is very good. It's very good to be connected. The challenge for us, though, is how to manage all of these different opportunities, all of these different relationships, when we wake up every day with a limited amount of time and a limited amount of energy. So it's all very good. All of these moods that we can find ourselves in are instruction for our life. They're all learning spaces. It's just that we have to realize it's a different world than it was when most of us were growing up on the call. So it takes new skills. It takes the ability to live our lives in a much more intentional way, perhaps, than we've ever done it before. Because our sense of community is no longer our family and a few people that we know at church and the people that we know at work. Now our community is literally the world. And so learning how to function in that type of world requires that we learn to be more intentional in how we live our lives. All right, let me pause right there and get some questions or comments. What insights or questions came up for you when we were talking about that?
Hi, this is Jill. Having all this technology, too, is very overwhelming. While it eases our life, you know, we get information so quickly, we can find out about things, it is overwhelming. I find myself, you know, that adds to it, too. You know, I have to check my text, I have to check my email, I have to check my Facebook. There's a lot of different pulls. So forget about the physical people in our life. Now we have all these other little things that want our attention, too. The blinking phone. It's calling your name all day.
Yeah, so all that technology that we're given. Yeah, go ahead.
I did find something that helped because there's so much stimulation coming in these days. I'd always have the TV on when I was home for background noise, and now over the last year and a half, I do not. When I'm home, I do not even turn the TV on, and it just gives me more peace of mind. And I'm just surprised at how I gravitated to the fact, because I was so used to living that way for years with all this music and background noise, that it just calms the nervous system down when you just have some time to yourself without all that noise.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, learning to say no to things, turning things off, tuning out for a little while to give yourself a chance to recover is really, really important. And there's also the consumer culture itself asking us to buy all these different things, all these new things that are coming out. The life cycle now on a new piece of technology is about 6 months. It used to be a year. Before that, it was a couple of years. So we're living in a very dynamic world that's speeding up, that's becoming more interconnected. Just having that understanding that that is the kind of culture that we live in my opinion, helps us to not take it so personally, like, well, what's wrong with me? Why am I so easily overwhelmed? I think it's important to understand that the culture is a huge contributor to our sense of overwhelm. And it's not to blame the culture, it's just to realize that is the context that we are living in and that we need to become more effective at living in.
I think that is hugely insightful. What I find interesting in these different Facebook groups or the, you know, different calls that I'm on with other integrative nutrition students in particular is that we're all feeling that that overbearing, overwhelming sense of just what all that we just went over. And it's, you know, you find a little bit of comfort. You don't want to say misery loves company, but I think that the fact that you made a statement that that's our culture just broadens it out so much, and then you just really think about, okay, well, I just really need to take care of my adrenal system.
Yes. So it's apparent. Thank you so much for contributing. It's obvious that we're going to have to make some tough choices to get out of this sense of over. And I think that's an important point to understand. The culture's not going to change. The companies aren't going to wake up and say, oh, well, we need to quit creating this technology that's connecting people. No, they're going to continue to do that. And that's a really good thing, by the way, as has already been brought up. But it requires us to make some really tough choices as to what we do with our energy and what we do with our mental attention on a day-by-day basis. Before we get into some specific ways, and there are more than we got time to talk about today, let's talk for just a moment about how does overwhelm prevent us from being our best individually? So we find ourselves in this mood of overwhelm. How does that prevent us from being our best individually? What do you think?
Well, it's difficult to focus on a task if you have a million of them. You can't do everything 100%. So if you're overwhelmed and you have too many things that you need to get done, what I tend to do is prioritize. Does this absolutely have to get done today, or can it be tomorrow? If it can be tomorrow, then I don't even think about it today. And I just try to concentrate on things that absolutely need to get done today.
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Sometimes for that means like, well, then all I'm doing is putting out fire, so, and I'm not really moving forward for me.
What I try to do, though, is like not everything is a fire. Like I used to think everything was a fire. But then if you really stop for a minute and make a list, I physically write it all down, and I say, well, really this isn't a fire. It all feels like it needs to get done today, but like cleaning off my desk, I really want that done. But it doesn't really have to get done today, and I really don't have the time for today, so I'm not going to think about it anymore today. I'm going to put it on my C-list, which is, you know, next week. And then I don't think about it anymore. I know I'm doing it. I planned it. I set a goal. It's going to be next Thursday. It's just not today. Because today, there's just no time for the desk.
Power of perspective. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Dick, you had a comment also?
Denver, this is Dick. I think when you have monkey mind and you are so overwhelmed with 10 different things that you really can't think about one thing clearly and you're not really present in the world or grounded, and that takes a toll on you mentally and physically.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the challenges with overwhelm and stress that's associated with it, increased cortisol, reduces DHEA, that causes a loss of creativity, all kinds of health issues, premature aging, the list goes on. So yeah, it affects your mental focus, as you guys brought out, all kinds of just physical things that become less possible because of the chemical changes in our body when we're in a sense of overwhelmed and stressed is really, really big. Another way it impacts us is you find yourself talking in conversations, speaking from your overwhelm instead of speaking from a sense of possibility. A lot of people, when they get overwhelmed and you talk to them, they talk more about what's overwhelming them instead of more about what they're up to and what they're creating in the world. And I think that is one of the worst things that happens as a result of overwhelm. Another thing is just people have a smaller sense of self. It's just a sense of I'm less than I could be. It translates into that, a smaller sense of self. And I think that, you know, that erosion of our identity, that sense that, well, not feeling good enough, not capable enough. It's like I've got all the things I want to do, and I don't feel like I'm doing any of them very well. And that can turn into just a loss and an erosion of a person's identity. So I think that is something else that can motivate us to get out of overwhelm so that we can begin to turn that around. Let's start going into some ideas. And again, I'm sure that we could go around the room, so to speak, here, and we could all make a contribution. And I will welcome any additional contribution that you want to make outside of what I'm going to provide today. But I've got several things here that we can begin to act on that can begin to help us to get out of this mood of overwhelm. And one of the most important things I've already shared with you is just to realize the culture that we're living in today and the need to be really intentional about how we are living our lives in that super interconnected, highly saturated market that's constantly asking for more of our energy, more of our attention, more of our commitment, to really be mindful that we're going to have to stand strong and be really intentional and at choice about how we live our lives. So let's go through. I've got, I think about, obviously, I'm going to have to go through these kind of quickly. We've got about 15 minutes. I've got like 13 things here that I want to share with you today. Some of these will hit, Some of these will, you're feeling overwhelmed yet? 13 and 15 minutes, okay? So here we go. The first one is to trust life. And I know that sounds kind of like woo-woo, way out there a little bit, but this has been one of the things that I've discovered, is to just really trust life. I find that when I get overwhelmed, I freak out, and I get into a really panicked state of survival, and I get to the point where I don't really trust life. I think it's all up to me to figure everything out. And when I turn to and I just trust the people around me and I trust life overall, I find myself able to get out of overwhelm pretty quickly. The second thing I want to share with you is to begin to reduce your commitments and your expectations to a level that fits within your time and energy limitations. I think this is really, really big. I think a lot of people today, in my perception anyway, are overcommitted, trying to do too many things at one time in their life, and their expectations for all of them are, I'm going to excel at all of them. And I think that sets us up for a lot of heartache because we only have a limited amount of time and energy per day. The third thing is to get clear on what is your business. So learning to distinguish between what is my business, what's my responsibility in life, what's mine to own and to take care of, and then allowing other people to take care of their own business, I think is really, really important. And so learning to distinguish, this is my responsibility, that which somebody has just thrown at me is not my responsibility. I need to hand it back to them and say, thank you so much, but no, that is not my responsibility, that's yours. Or it could be someone else's, actually. So getting really clear on what is your business, I think, is really, really important. Okay, up to this point, anybody have any comments about those first three? Any of those hit home for anybody?
I love the trust life one. I'm going on vacation next week, and I was feeling a little overwhelmed with trying to book everything. And my husband said, I'm going to take care of the hotel. And I'm like, ooh, I'm not so sure about that. But you know what? He did it. It felt great. It's done. I know we'll be sleeping somewhere great. And it was off my checklist, and it was huge to just let it go, let him take it over.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, trusting people, trusting life, it's really good. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Comments on the first three? Okay, we'll move on. Number four, slow down and relax your desire to be in control. And this kind of goes with what was just mentioned. Don't be afraid to delegate and let other people contribute. And the slow down part is you just got to slow down enough to, you know, that you can see clearly in life. And to relax in your desire to control is to realize that you don't have to control everything. It's not even possible. And that is a great way to get into overwhelm, feeling that everything in your life you have to have control of it. Is not only not possible, really, but it's also very, really, really stressful. So is there something that you would be willing to relax and not be so controlling about? That would be the question. Number five, keep things simple. One of the things that I've noticed is that people equate complexity with value. If it seems complex, it must be valuable. And this could be true on a vacation, too. Someone mentioned going on a vacation. A vacation's only good and valuable if it's highly complex, and if it's full of activities from sun up to sun down, that's the only way it's going to be of any value and any fun to anybody. And it might be like, you know, a good question here would be, how could we make this as simple as possible? Still do a lot of things, but how could we do it in such a way where it feels and it is actually simple? So what is something in your life right now that you could simplify? Anybody have a comment there? What's something that right now is rather complex that you feel you could really simplify?
I'm thinking.
Okay.
I'm thinking, but I'm not coming up with anything.
Okay, so maybe that's a question to kind of live in for a little while and just begin to look at the things that you do on a regular basis and say, how could I simplify this? Maybe you can simplify your filing system, your communication system, something in your day that you could just say, this is way too complex. I'm making this way too hard. I'm going to simplify it right now, and just look for that way to simplify it. Number six, let go. Yeah, go ahead, Laura.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say one thing is maybe just to realize that whatever we do, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Ah, very good.
I gave up a perfect house. You know, it doesn't have to be neat all the time.
Yeah. There's a lot of complexity in perfection. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Number six, let go of what is no longer working. Let go. Be willing to let go of what's no longer working, what's no longer serving you. And this is really, really difficult because a lot of times what shows up when you let go of something that's not working? What tends to show
space.
Up? How do you... What's that?
I would say what shows up, space. If you're not doing something that's no longer working, you have more time and maybe even some more peace because you're not dealing with something that's not working in your life.
Yes. Very good. More space, more peace of mind. The thing I was thinking of prior to that is maybe a sense of guilt. You know, I really put a lot of effort into this. It's not working anymore. It doesn't appear to be anything that is going to work. I'm just going to let go of it. You could have that sense of, I failed at that, or what was wrong with me that I couldn't make that work. So I think that is some of the reasons I see people holding on to things that are no longer working. It's just like they've got so much invested into it, so much of their identity invested into it. And so you've got to kind of step back, release it, and say, you know what, that's just not working for my life anymore. Maybe it worked 5 years ago, but it's not working now. I need to just set it free. I need to let it go. And then as Laura said, then all of a sudden you have more space, less overwhelm. Your circle gets bigger. Pretty cool. Number seven, complete what you start. This is a big one. This is actually one of the things that happens in a highly interconnected world. We start a lot of things. Every new connection could be looked at as the start of something new. And there could be like 10 things that you start this week as a result of your social media interaction. And that could end up 10 things that you never complete. And that can end up in a strong sense of overwhelm because all of those things are still in the background and yet they're incomplete. So this is a big challenge, but the challenge is to complete what you start. Okay, number eight, say no 3 times more than you do right now. Practicing that adult no, that ability to say, no, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. No, that doesn't align with my purpose right now, but thank you so much for inviting me into that. Just practicing the no. So what is something in your life right now, maybe an invitation that you've had recently, or something that you just could say no to right now and free up some of your time and energy? Does anybody have anything you want to share in that area?
No, I was just going to say, I think we're afraid we won't get through the 13.
Okay, all right. So you want me to keep going? I got you.
Yes. Okay.
So say no to Denver's question. I got you. I hear you. That's good. Very good. So you all can say no to me, and I'll move on. Number 9, only say yes if you absolutely mean it. Now, I've witnessed a lot of people that are impulsively yes people. Somebody asks them a question, yes, I'll do that. And then they step away 2 minutes later and they go, oh, my God, what did I say yes to? I didn't even think about it. I just said yes. The challenge here before you say yes is to give yourself some space to really think about it, to look at it from a time perspective, an energy perspective, a resource perspective. If I say yes to that, do I really have the time and the energy to follow through with my yes, or is it going to be another incompletion? So this is really challenging in our time, in our day and time, and one of the reasons is because we don't want to hurt people's feelings, we don't want to look bad, and we often think that a yes is a quick way to look good, and it is. It's like, yes, oh, they said yes. Oh, they're such great people. Wow, that's awesome. You know, they said yes, they volunteered, that's fabulous. And then you leave the meeting and you're like, oh my gosh, when am I going to do that? So your yes quickly becomes a no or a tuck tail and run or a dodge that person at the next meeting because I know I can't follow through and I told them yes, oh my God, what did I do? So that really can lead to a sense of overwhelm. And we are saying yes, by the way, multiple times and in multiple ways every day. Replying to something on Facebook is a yes. I'm saying yes to that. I'm replying to it. So we've got multiple yeses throughout the day. So before you actually say yes, start a new conversation, say yes to a new opportunity, stop and look at it in the context of the bigger picture and make sure you really have the time and the energy to do it. And that will allow you then to get to the big yeses in your life, the things that you really can put your time and energy into that really are important to you. Number 10, begin to utilize new tools like to-do lists, calendars, automated systems, things like that that can relieve some of the pressure off of your brain and your nervous system and can do it for you. That's a blessing of this technology that they're handing us every day, is that there is a lot of automation. There's a lot of apps out there that you can use. There's systems that you can use if you're in business that can take a lot of the pressure off of you and free up your time and energy. So you might explore what are some of the productivity tools out there, some of the organizational tools out there, and begin, again, very mindfully what you say yes to, because every one of them has a learning curve involved. Just look for those that can help you with your current needs with respect to automation. Number 11, this is a big one. Hang out with people who are committed to living a balanced life. Now, notice I didn't say hang out with people who are living a balanced life. they might be hard to find. I said who are committed to living a balanced life. In other words, they're on the path. That's their intention. Their intention is to live more balanced. Their intention is to get better at saying no to the things that they need to say no to, yes to the things that they need to say yes to, who are taking care of themselves and calming down and slowing down and practicing letting go, all of those things. People who are committed to doing that better, who would be a support for you, you want to spend some time with those people and learn from them and absorb some of the things that they're doing to live a more balanced life. All right, we're doing good. Number 12. You're all quiet so we can get to these 11. Number 12, create your own definition of health, of well-being, and success. And live that and nothing else. This is really important because another challenge of our interconnected world is you're exposed to all kinds of ideas of what health is, all right, all kinds of ideas of what it is to live a happy life, all kinds of ideas of what does success mean, and all of those are going to be very attractive because it worked really well for the person that's given it to you. That's why they're sharing it. And that's fantastic. That is absolutely a great thing. But you want to take that and you want to say, how does that work for my life? Or could that work for my life? Is that really valuable to me? Does that align with what's really important to me? So this is an invitation to define what health means to you and what success means to you. What does fulfillment mean to you? Really take some time to begin to reflect on that and then really be about the business of living that. Then you'll know what to say yes to all that stuff that's coming at you every day on social media and through the internet and through your email box and so forth, you'll know what to say yes to, because you'll say, yes, that's going to help me to live my definition of success, fulfillment, well-being, health. So I'm going to explore that a little bit further. Number 13 is, if you need some help with overwhelm, seek it out. You don't have to do it all by yourself. So if you're disorganized and you need to get organized, find someone that can help you to get organized, because they may be able to help you like in 10 minutes to do something that might take you 6 months to figure out on your own. So really don't be afraid to get some help. There are coaches out there such as myself that can help you. You can do Google search for, you know, all kinds of tools and resources that can help you. So don't be afraid to ask for help in dealing with this sense of overwhelm. All right, that's the 13 that I have that I knew I would be able to share in this length of time. Who has questions or comments about any of those 13? Now's your time.
I have one, and it's about seeking help. It's like if you need some help, but you really can't afford to pay for help, and that's about the only way that you really can get it,
yes.
What do you do then?
So what I encourage people to do, I mean, one thing, and there's probably several, but one thing is just to again, you got to free up some time and energy, resources to get that help. And so one thing that I encourage people to do is just sit down and look at how you're spending your money. There might be a way that you could quit spending money in that direction to spend it, you know, short term to get some help to get whatever it is that you need. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Like, it makes sense, but if it's not feasible, what then? You know, and I'm not a negative person at all. I continuously look for opportunities and things that I get personally stuck right there. Because I need two or three of me.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel.
Yes.
And those other two need to be better than me.
one of the things that comes to mind, and again, we're running out of time, so this might be something that you and I could talk about offline here. But another thing that you could do, this applies to everybody on the call, is to get like a book that is on the topic that you want to learn more about or need some help on. Find two or three people that also need some help with that. Go through the book together. Hold each other accountable to applying what you're learning in the book. What's it cost you is the book and a little bit of time to meet with the other people. So that would be one example of that would allow you to hang out with some people who are also on that path or in that commitment, and also allow you to talk things out and to explore and hold each other accountable to making some positive direction. So that's one possibility of many. So I welcome you to email me or contact me through Facebook, and we can explore that more. How's that sound?
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you, Denver.
Awesome. You're welcome. So one thing is certain. We're going to wrap up now. One thing is certain in today's world, the inflow of information, relationships, and opportunities is only going to increase. So it's really important that we begin to get a handle on this whole thing around overwhelm and how to manage ourselves more effectively in the current inflow of information. I hope that you guys got some value out of today's call. I know this is a big topic for a 45-minute call, and next year we're going to be offering some additional opportunities to go beyond this call for people that want to, you know, get an introduction to a topic like here today and then want to continue for 3 weeks afterwards to really begin to apply this. So we're working on ways to facilitate the continuing conversation on topics like this. So look for that in upcoming months. So thank you for being on the call today and for your participation. Whether you contributed by a voice or just listening, we really appreciate your time and energy today. If you have any questions, insights that came up for you on today's topic, you can contact me at denver@thewowmovement.com. You can also contact me through Facebook. Next month's call will be on Thursday, December 20th, 5 days before Christmas. Yay. Thanks, everybody, for being on the
call.
Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Enjoy it.